With the Lord's help and with your prayers, I desire that we would read together from Colossians chapter 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. May we all bow in prayer to the Lord. This chapter begins with a simple command to masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. It's clear, it's to the point. It makes sense that a master would do what is right and fair. But then Apostle Paul reminds them, and this is what, with the Lord's help, desire that we would have our focus upon this morning. The message to the master and the message to each of us, to know that ye also have a master in heaven. the masters who had servants, those who have responsibility over others, whether it be family or friends, companies, businesses. It's easy to get wrapped up in directing, in instructing, and perhaps even controlling to make sure things are in order. But Apostle Paul reminds masters, don't forget that you are also a servant to a master. You also fit in to a chain of command. We are not our own. We are not masters of our own sphere of influence and completely isolated. But we are accountable to the Lord. This means that we must give an answer for the things that we are responsible for. And you might think, well, good, that's for the masters. That's for those with servants or with companies or who are heads of households. But no, each of us has something that we are responsible for. Maybe it's not 100 people in a company or a family that we're over. But don't you have your time? Don't you have your will and your love? The master that is over the company can visualize all the people that he is responsible for and over. Maybe the young man or the young lady that has no one that they are over, you put before yourself your will, your love, and your time. These are the things that you are responsible for. Now do that with the awareness that you are accountable to God. You will have to give an answer for what you loved, for what you sacrificed for how you used your time. No one is exempt from the reminder and the awareness that we have a master in heaven. To come to this understanding is a great blessing in faith. Right after the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus marvels at the man that understood authority and what his place was as a servant. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 5, he tells a story of a centurion, a man that's over 100 soldiers, and he pleads to Jesus to help his servant who's sick. And Jesus willingly says, I will come and heal him. But the centurion says, no, no, no. You don't need to come because I know who you are. You have authority. You can simply say the word and the powers and the forces that are under you, that word is powerful and it will do its work. And my servant shall be healed. He says, I'm a man under authority. And I have people under me and I say something and it gets done. But I'm a man under authority. I know what it means to take orders. And when I receive them, I carry them out. He took what he learned from life. He took what he learned from the discipline in the army. So now I understand a little bit more about what it means that Jesus is king. And even as we talked on Wednesday about Jesus having authority, Jesus says the word and his servants carry it out. And Jesus hears this testimony of faith, this understanding that the centurion came to, and he says, it says he marveled. And he said unto them that followed, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. To know our place in the chain of command and to not buy into the culture of the day that says you are your own person, you are your own, you can do what you want. But to understand our place is a great blessing of faith. And it's a great evidence of faith. And we are, one and all, accountable to the Lord. We will give account for how we forgave. We will give account for how we treated our fellow servants. We will be giving account for our works before the Lord. This should make us tremble and to fear. But we also balance that with the testimony of Scripture that we have a good master. One that, even as we sung in the opening hymn, will attend us, will walk with us, will be at our side, and will provide not only things that are just and equal, but also he is gracious to us and will provide that which is good. We read in Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, this in his greeting to the churches of what God provides to us as our master. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We don't have a wicked taskmaster like Pharaoh, who told the children of Israel to make their bricks, but he would not provide them the materials. But the Lord calls us to be fruitful and says, abide in me, be close to me, draw your strength and all that you need for life and for godliness from the Lord, from what he provides. A good master, providing all that we need, but then also holding us account for what kind of stewards we are. Another lesson of knowing that we have a master in heaven is that there is an example. There is a perfect example to follow, which is a relief. Because when we are put in a position of responsibility, we don't have to make up what we're supposed to do. We have a pattern to follow. We're given an example. He has shown us the way. The Lord has done this in many ways. We can learn to be a master. We can learn to take responsibility by the way God has shown. And he's teaching masters to acknowledge their master in heaven as their perfect example here. Previously, he talks about Christ and the church being a pattern and an example for husbands and for wives. Earlier than that, in the Old Testament, when Moses was given instructions to build the tabernacle, he was told, "See that thou build it according to the pattern that thou saw in the mountain." God gave him a pattern in the heavens for how to build the temple and how to worship. He did not need to innovate. He did not need to create his own. He was shown an excellent way. He just needed to carry it out. And even in nature itself, going even further back to the way that God has made the plants, it says in Genesis that he made the herb yielding seed after his kind. One generation after another, replicating the pattern after its kind to be fruitful, to provide for the animals, to make the world a place that we can call home, to make it beautiful. And now we come to the heart of man that is desperately wicked and seeks its own way and wants to do its own thing. And we have the form, this mold of Scripture. Will we follow the pattern that we are given by our Master to make our homes and our church, our community, and the world into a place that can be livable, in a place of fruitfulness, a place where God's grace and gifts are expressed and provide help and healing? Christ has given us that pattern. And you will find it, and I will find it, speaking to us in John chapter 13. Jesus is with his disciples in an upper room. And he steps away and he pours water into a basin. And he takes a towel and wraps it around himself and begins to come up behind the disciples and washes their feet. And after he finishes, he took his garments and sat down again and said to them, "Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus wants us to follow his pattern. The heart of God is pleading with us to press into that pattern and to be molded, to give ourselves completely, a beautiful sacrifice. The children of Israel were corrected and rebuked by God because they were told to bring a spotless lamb for their sacrifices. And they brought the sick. They thought, we'll just give this leftovers to God. Jesus' sacrifice is so much far greater than those sacrifices in the Old Testament. And that is the sacrifice and pattern for us. He's given everything. And we are to give all of our hearts, to surrender all to the Lord, and to be a servant as he has shown to us. Knowing that ye also have a master in heaven, know the pattern. Know the pattern. Meditate on what Jesus Christ did for his disciples as he washed their feet, as he stooped down, as he took that dirt, he washed it off. What does that mean? How do you practice that? How do you get involved? How do you practice the pattern? Well, there are many applications, and there are some beautiful applications that Apostle Paul continues in. As he speaks of prayer, and he speaks of a life lived in wisdom, and as he speaks about speech, Apostle Paul, even as Christ, he told a parable. Christ told a parable that men should pray and not faint. Don't give up. Keep going. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thankful for the good and for the difficult. And then says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door. And we think about Peter. When the church was praying, the doors of the prison were opened and he could come out. But Apostle Paul isn't praying for the doors of the prison to be opened. He's praying that he could just simply continue the work that Jesus Christ has called him to speak the word of God, that a door of utterance would be open, that he would speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest, or to make it known as I ought to speak. What an encouragement. What a blessing for us who are in this flesh with its limitations and its bonds, its burdens, and its challenges. That Apostle Paul, even in a prison cell, could be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ right where he was. You may think that there's a limitation. There's a hindrance, and you may be discouraged. Those hindrances of the flesh, the things that we feel are limiting and cause us to say, well, no, maybe I won't. No. The Spirit of God working in a man is able to make him useful, profitable, fruitful, and beneficial, whether he feels strong or he feels weak. Whether there's opposition or whether it's smooth sailing ahead. The Word of God is not bound. The only thing that can keep a man from and woman from this service to the Lord, when if they are yielded to the Spirit, the only thing that can keep a man is sin. But even that, if the man is pricked by the Spirit of God in his conscience to repent, to turn away from that, even that is something that Christ can provide for us to overcome. It's the carnal man that says, well, I'm so discouraged by my failures, and I can do nothing. Yes, I can do nothing. But Paul says, through Christ, we can do all things. And so look to Christ. Look to your pattern. Look to your master. Look to your example. Call out to him and ask him for the grace to help you in your time of need. And do not be a slave. Do not be bound to sin, but be freed. Jesus Christ himself willingly took on the beating, the scorn, the bonds. His hands and feet were pinned to the tree. And yet through that willing surrender, he overcame. He overcame death. He overcame the power of sin and of Satan. And now Satan is bound. Satan is bound for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Do you believe? Do you believe that the door of utterance can be opened? Pray. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord for the ministry Apostle Paul is teaching, that the word might go forth. Jesus taught his disciples, pray for laborers to enter into the harvest. Pray. There are times when perhaps we are discouraged and feel that prayer is just the repeating of the words. It needs not be like that. We see an example here of Epaphras in verse 12, who is one of you. He's from Colossae. This is his hometown. And he loves them. And he's yearning for them. And he says that he labors fervently for you in prayer. A fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much, the scripture says. It does a lot. It moves the heart of God. And it also, when we pray from the heart, with sincerity, with pouring ourselves in feeling and surrender to the Lord, it's more than just words that we say. It moves our heart as well. It reminds us of the care and the best intents and wishes for one another. And it's impossible to put a stumbling block in front of your brother's way when you are fervently praying for them. It is effective. And the prayer that Epaphras has is that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He envisioned his home church, his hometown, that the believers there would be like a cup that is full of the will of God and thriving in the will of God, and ones that have no room for the will of self and selfishness, no room for the will of the world and the culture that's around them, but full of the love of God and his service. We see in this chapter many examples of beloved brothers serving in various ways, being mentioned, being reminded. This is also a pattern of God. A pattern of God as he is a chief architect of his church that we should be mindful of, that we would also be a part of that. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, in conclusion, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The Lord is making a house, a habitation of God through the Spirit, and he is using these stones. Beloved brothers and sisters, ready to serve, ready to work, being a part of the pattern. And we don't know the whole picture. We do know the foundation that Apostle Paul was teaching. He was laying down that foundation of Jesus Christ. And now it's our turn to be a part of that building, to be that part that God has for us in his pattern and his workmanship to his honor and his glory. May God bless his word. Amen.
Every man in authority is under authority. And the scripture clearly speaks to all. You know, in James it says that the wages that you have paid are crying against you. Think of that if you want to think about being fair in all of your business dealings. What you do, the cry of the injustice is ringing in God's ears of what you did, what I did. So let's really consider whatever walk of life we are in, that everything we do must be just and fair. He talks about prayer. I love the Apostle Paul, and he realized the power that prayer was, that link that brought him to the throne of God. Imagine if you and I didn't have that. He says, watch and pray. And he says, continue prayer and watch in the same. So watch, as you pray, watch. And be thankful for that opportunity that you could come to God and pour out your heart to him. We have an example of Elijah. Elijah had a servant. And he said, go up to the mountain and watch. And I'm going to stay in the valley and I'm going to pray. And the servant goes up to the mountain and he's watching. And he watches and he comes back down. And 7 times he goes up with no conviction at all that the prayers that Elijah, who knew that his prayers were heard by God and would be answered. That servant went up and down 7 times before he saw the truth that the prayers of Elijah were going to be answered. That prayer, but that watchfulness, we see that shortly thereafter, Elijah replaced him, that servant, with Elisha. And Elisha had a desire. He says, I want to receive a double portion of your spirit. He said, that's a hard thing you're asking for. He goes, but if you see me, think of this man of prayer and faith. He said, if you see me being taken up, he knew he was going to be taken up. Had he ever seen that before? No. But the chariots came and they whisked him off into glory. And that is an example for us, dear ones. As Elisha now walked in the power of the man who went on to glory in that spirit, not in his power, in the spirit. So we also today, we had a man once, Jesus Christ, who walked this earth. And it ascended on to high. And we also, we look on him as Elijah was in full obedience unto God. And Elisha saw that obedience and desired to walk in that. So that the man who walked in this earth was now a man in glory. We look at Jesus Christ now in the same manner. A man who walked in absolute obedience to the Father. And he went on into glory. And we now, in the power of that Spirit, walk in absolute obedience to him, so that we also would one day be received into glory. And we are told here, dear ones, he goes on and he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. This isn't a direct address to us brothers and sisters and to you who are without. What does it mean to be without? In the book of Revelation, it says, in the closing chapter of the Bible, it says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Period. To give everyone. We had these supporting hymns that talked about the fruits and everything. These beautiful hymns that were chosen that really align so beautifully in the prayer with the sermon. And he says, "I am Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right." These are the ones who are within. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into that city, that celestial city." We have the right to walk through that gate because we are within the fold of Jesus Christ. For without, he says, I know this is harsh. He says, but this is all who are without. He says, "There are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." If you are without, you can't walk into the city. You have no access to the tree of life. Why? You want to be like that servant of Elijah that had no faith? He's watching, but haphazardly, half-heartedly, not believing in something else. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. If the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing. Your speech and my speech, brothers and sisters, has to be seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." We were blessed to be here this morning, to hear the precious word of God, to be reminded, to be instructed. All of us, brothers and sisters and dear friends alike, we were all very blessed this morning. It's my prayer that each of us would take with us the emphatic belief, I don't know how to describe it, of the Apostle Paul, who knew his prayers are being heard. Let's pray with that conviction. You know, Saul lost that ability to even pray, King Saul. He lost that ability. He ended up resorting to witches and knocking on the doors of witches. And God opened those doors for him and let him plummet into his eternal doom. He lost that connection to the throne of God. We can too. That's why it tells us, watch and pray. Amen.